You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Once a month, we sit down with someone from the Juno Police Department to find out what's on their public safety radar. The end of a busy summer, which seems like a good time for a visit with Deputy Police Chief Dave Campbell. Welcome back to the show, Deputy Chief Campbell.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. Let's dive right in with something that's been in the news a lot over the last week, the disappearance of a hiker, Joe Clayton Sweeney. He's been missing almost 2 weeks now, and I just wanted to ask you, and you wanted to share a little bit about how your department responds to cases like these.
Sure. We've put out a few press releases on it, asking for the public's help, doing things on that line, and it seems like this would be a good opportunity to kind of talk in general terms about, different jurisdictional responsibilities. And so if it's a missing person, it is the responsibility of the Juno Police Department as far as looking to try to track people down, go to different places, look at, go to airports, do things like that, respond to sightings. But if it's a search and rescue that's out in the woods, that's the purview of the Alaska State Troopers. And it's set up that way, basically in the state of Alaska through statute and through the Alaska Constitution, because search and rescues tend to be really large affairs. They tend to have a lot of different people from, Civil Air Patrol and searchers and sea dogs and helicopters. And oftentimes those types of capacities go beyond what municipal governments can have. So the state of Alaska, in its wisdom, has kept search and rescues as the purview of the state. And I think that's really wise that they did that. So in this case, it started off as a search and rescue, is that he was in the woods. So it starts off when we get cases like this, and there's been a few in the past 2 years that kind of fall under this category, where it starts with the troopers, and they take care of the search and rescue and the coordination of that. But at some point in time, if the search and rescue doesn't locate the person, it turns in from a search and rescue to a missing persons. And so there's kind of like a handoff where it goes from the troopers to JPD, and we end up becoming the lead agency in the follow-up from that point in time. And that's what happened in this case. There are packets we have to put together into ABSIN, and so the national system is notified of them. And one of our lieutenants, Lieutenant Craig Campbell, who has no relation to me, but we share the same last name, he has been coordinating with the family, and we've been following up on sightings and potential sightings and things like that. I thought that it was something that was important for the people to know, that there's kind of a transfer there. And one of the questions also came up was, well, how does Silver Works alert? And Silver Alerts are also the purview of the troopers. They're the ones that have the authority to enact the emergency broadcast system, for lack of a better term. So the troopers are the ones that do the Amber Alerts and the Silver Alerts. So I just thought that this was a good opportunity to let people know, because it seemed like there's a lot of comments, well, call JBD. Maybe JBD is doing this. Maybe JBD is doing that. And it's a little bit bigger than that, and that it has to be coordinated between us and the troopers. One thing that we do, another service that we offer, we just started up this year, is we have what we call the ARC program, which I'm not sure if a lot of people are aware of it. Now, Silver Alerts are designed for vulnerable adults. Lots of times when people hear the term silver adults, they think of the elderly, mm-hmm. but you don't have to be elderly to qualify for a silver alert. You just have to be a vulnerable adult. And we have a program called the ARC program, which stands for at-risk citizens, where if somebody has a loved one that it could potentially be an at-risk citizens due to, mental capacity or something of that line, they can go onto the JBD website and voluntarily sign up and provide us a photograph, so that if something happens, we're kind of like one step ahead of the game, to where we already know who the person is, what they look like. We have information that might help us communicate with them better. We had a lot of people sign up for it when it was first announced, and it's kind of trailed off since then. But giving up-to-date information immediately in the field when someone is in crisis like that is just super, super important. So I'd like to encourage people that are listening that if you have someone in your family that would be considered a vulnerable adult or even a juvenile that might have some issues that you want us to know about. It's purely voluntary. Mm-hmm. You can go on to juvenilepolice.com and search down and see the ARC program and sign up for it. It's a great program.
I agree. I think it's an excellent service that's offered by you and a good resource for you as well. So I hope that everybody who wants to sign up for that can do so. Now, in this case, the family's made its own efforts to locate Mr. Sweeney. So do you encourage the public to work with your department or the state troopers when organizing search parties or posting statements online?
We don't really do searches in the woods. It's just something that we don't have the capacity to do from a manpower point of view or the expert point of view. So we don't coordinate those. We respond if someone is like, if there's a sighting of a hitchhiker or, someone that shows up at the mall or, something like that, that's what we can do. So anything further as far as this goes would either have to be through like the troopers or through the family. I know the Sea Dogs did a lot of work on this case originally, but I believe the Sea Dogs need to have the troopers or an agency reach out to them in order for them to get involved. I don't think they do it through a citizen request.
There's a $5,000 reward in this case. What would you advise if someone wants to go out and look for him themselves?
Be very careful. Juneau is a very unforgiving place, especially out in the woods. And, we do have several people that in the past few years that have been hikers that have gone missing. And it's very dense undergrowth. And if a person gets hurt, it's very, very difficult to find them. What we train our police officers on is, if you're responding to a call, you don't do anybody any good if you don't get to the call by getting in a wreck or something. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to go out and search, that's a very admirable thing to do. But, don't exacerbate the problem by yourself becoming lost or in need or of aid or something along that line. So I would just say be very careful when you do that, because it is a very treacherous woods. You don't think it is, but it is. We've had a lot of instances in the past where something happens, and we had a hiker that went missing, I think, 15 years ago. I'm not going to use any names because I don't want to stir up any problems with the family. But we had a pretty small area to search, and a lot of effort went into it to search. And about 10 years after the fact, about 5 years ago, we actually found that hiker, and it was right in the middle of where just a ton of searches went into it. And it was because the vegetation is just so, so thick that it's a little bit more difficult to find somebody in our woods than it is just in regular woods. It's very thick.
Right, right. Well, thank you so much for answering my questions about that, Deputy Chief Campbell. I really appreciate that. And best of luck to the searchers. Changing topics now, I think the last time you and I talked on the show, or one of the last times, you gave us an update on the progress that the Juneau Police Department has made in their work toward accreditation. What is the latest on that? Is there any news to share?
Yeah, there is. I'd like to give just a little bit of history for people that might not have heard our previous conversation. So police accreditation is a pretty big deal for us. It's something that we've been working for a long time. And one question that I get quite often is, well, why go through all the troubles to get accredited? And my response is, you wouldn't want to go to a university and not have your degree be accredited. You wouldn't want your university to be unaccredited, right? You wouldn't want your doctor to be unaccredited. You wouldn't want your attorney to have a degree from an unaccredited school. What accreditation does, it's an outside body that looks at your procedures, your policies, and basically provides an in-depth review into what you do to make sure that you meet best practices. And I think that, for police departments, we owe it to the people of Juneau to have that review done and to be able to say, yeah, we do follow best practices. We do have our policies and procedures in place, and we follow them because that's important. And it really became important, last summer 2020, when the social justice issues were going on in our nation, and there were people that were questioning the police, and in a situation like that, and I think it's wise for people to question their government. When people question the police, is it better to say, "Oh yeah, we follow best practices, trust me," or to say, "We follow best practices, and this other organization that is recognized as being able to do that has said that you follow best practices. You know, so it's, it provides assurances to the public that we're not just saying something, we're actually been reviewed and do it. So the organization that we go through is the Oregon Accreditation Alliance. They are a recognized accrediting body. In order to qualify for new federal grants that are coming out, there are certain things that you have to be able to attest to, and you have to have an accrediting body that can basically sign you off for the federal government, and the OAA is one of those. The reason why we're going through Oregon is because Alaska does not have an accrediting body. We used to, but we don't anymore. In the early 2000s, mid-2000s, the state of Alaska put together an accrediting body. We have a group called ACOP, Alaska Chiefs of Police, and ACOP put together an accrediting body called ALIAC. Don't ask me what it stands for. It's something like Alaska Law Enforcement Accrediting, yada, yada, yada. It was a mouthful. But in 2009, we went through the process, and we became, at that point, the only accredited police agency in the state of Alaska through ALIAC. After the five-year accreditation was done through them, we were going through the accreditation process. It was in 2014. No other agency in Alaska was going through the accreditation process. So ACOP decided that it was too much work for one agency, and they didn't have the interest from other agencies, so they canceled the ALIAC program. So we were no longer accredited because the accrediting body didn't exist anymore, but we felt that it was still important for the reasons I mentioned before. So ACOP did a bunch of research, and they decided that the OAA, the Oregon Accreditation Alliance, had very, very similar standards to what ALIAC had. So they ended up coming into an agreement with the OAA to accreditate Alaska agencies. And so we started looking at it, and we decided it was something that we wanted to do. We've been working at it for a couple of years now. It's kind of a slow process, but it really came into focus last year when the issues happened with the questioning of the police nationally. So we decided that we needed to kind of pick up our work a little bit. I had two officers that did a tremendous amount of work for it. We had Sergeant Nick Garza and Sergeant Chris Gifford did a lot of work as far as, you know, making sure that the policies were uploaded properly and the proofs and whatnot. So in June of this year, we had our site visit. We signed off and said that we were done with everything. We had our site visit. So the assessor came to Juneau, spent some time with us, with the officers, asking us questions, looking at stuff. They were in the comm center for a while. Wrote up a report recommending that we should be accredited. And next week, on Tuesday, is the next meeting for the OAA board down in Oregon. And one of their topics is to review and vote whether JPD gets accredited or not. So I'm just thrilled that years and years of work is coming together. And I'm going to watch the meeting on Tuesday. And I'm really hoping that at the end of Tuesday, we'll be able to send out a press release basically saying it's official, we're accredited, and it's just a culmination of a lot of work. So we're just very, very happy with where we're at right now.
I hope so too. And I think anyone who's ever been a part of any accreditation process understands just how difficult it is and how much work it is. And it is quite an accomplishment for you and your department. And I think the citizens of Juneau appreciate the effort. So well done there. I'm hoping for good news for you. On that.
Yeah, too. I'm not being premature in letting the cat out of the bag. But there are two other agencies in Alaska who are now accredited through OAA, so we'll be the third, which is nice because more agencies are now recognizing the need for accreditation, stepping up and doing the same thing. But it's a huge feather in the cap of the agency and the city, because it really speaks to your police department, you know. And we all live here. At some point in time, I'm going to be, you know, retired, and I'm not going to be a part of the JPD anymore. And I'm still going to live here, and I want my agency to meet standards and still be the agency that it is while I'm here.
Well, we've got our fingers crossed for you over here. And next time we talk, hopefully we'll have some. Hopefully, I'll be talking with someone from an accredited police department. So. Well, last but not least, Deputy Chief Campbell, I just wanted to say I'm kind of glad we're on the radio today instead of on TV, because you're looking a little scruffy. I was wondering if you forgot to shave this morning or what's going on with that.
Yeah, I'm sporting probably about 4 or 5 days of growth, which is not usual for me. Well, thanks for noticing and, you know, calling me on the radio for being out of policy. But no, actually. JPD is participating in a national effort of first responders to raise money for pediatric cancer. And we did it last year, we're doing it this year. And there's a group called The Cure Starts Now, and they have reached out to law enforcement agencies across the country to allow their staff to grow beards and engage in dyeing their hair or fingernails purple. So it's called Color Up or Beard Up or Color Up for the Cure. So the reason why we started, it's a little longer this year, is September is Child Cancer Awareness Month. And so we've told our officers that they, if they want to participate, they have to donate first. So we've been in, going through the organization, The Cure Starts Now, to collect donations from the officers, and the officers are able to grow a beard. But then come, I think, first of the year, we got to shave it off again. So you will be seeing officers, our male officers, potentially with beards, and our female officers, potentially with some purple fingernails or hair color. And it's part of an awareness program to raise money for pediatric cancer. So we're really happy to be able to participate with that.
Cool. I look forward to seeing some officers with purple hair. That'd be pretty neat.
Yeah, to me, it's weird. I mean, whenever I see a police officer with a beard, it just doesn't look right. You know, maybe my 26 and a half years, I'm just an old dog. It just looks odd. But then again, I'm growing a beard too. So it can't be that odd.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. Now, I like to keep up with JPD on your Facebook page. Are there other ways to stay up to date on Juneau Police Department activities?
That's probably the biggest way to do it. We do, we are.
Here
in a few months, it's actually full, but we will be doing it again in the springtime as well. But the Facebook is definitely the easiest and the best way to keep up with us with what's going on.
Deputy Chief Campbell, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much.